different verses, okay? So we've been looking at courtship, okay? Some Christians use that word courtship, and some people use the word dating. I use it synonymously. But even with Christian quote-unquote dating or being boyfriend-girlfriend, it should be different than the rest of the world, okay? One of the things, so let me just read this long definition of courtship, okay? Of just what I mean by Christian courtship. By the way, the way Christians pursue relationships should be very different than the world, yes? We all agree. I think most of us, the most obvious one would say, okay, for Christians, sex is only within, or physical intimacy. Sorry, I have young little ears. Physical intimacy should be in the context of what? Within marriage, okay? But it's more than that, okay? There's also other things, okay? So I'll just read this whole definition. And by the way, eventually, as we talk about how Christians court, we'll even talk about characteristics to look for a spouse, okay? We're already beginning that on Sunday just because I need to finish all this when I go to Nepal, okay? So definition is this is a period in an individual's life where he or she is not yet married, okay? But in a purposeful relationship that is intending to seek marriage in the near future with a certain believer of the opposite gender, and during this season is exercising godly wisdom, discernment, and prayer in discovering to the best of their ability if the two are compatible with one another, where the possibility of marriage then seems to be God's will, who both show indication of desire and character to live out a God-centered, biblically-centered, a biblically principled marriage, okay? Really long, long, long thing, but each week we're breaking down each part, okay? By the way, all of us desire to be in a relationship. If you were married in a relationship, we're thankful for that, or courting, or, you know, that. Some of us, most of us here are single. Raise your hand if you desire to be in a relationship. This is the part where everyone raise their hand, or those that doesn't is because they're shy, right? But they do, right? Okay? But we want to do it biblically, okay? We want to do it God's way. God's way, okay? We want to do it God's way. By the way, doing it God's way, does that always mean it's going to be easy? No, okay? Yeah. Doing things God's way sometimes even feels harder than the way the world does, okay? There's certain principles you want to follow, boundaries in order not to fall into immorality, and guarding each other's heart because you don't want to hurt the other sister or brother's heart, okay? Things like that. So doing this does not also automatically guarantee the person you meet is automatically going to be the one that you're with, okay? Sometimes doing things biblically means, okay, this might not be the one that God has called you to be in with, and that means you have to call it off, okay? So part of teaching this, eventually a few weeks from now, I'll also cover that, how do we call it off biblically? It's going to be painful, it's going to be hard, but I think there's some principles to keep in mind, and also God's presence and truth to help us when it needs to be called off, okay? So, by the way, also, even as we're doing this, you guys know, I, as your pastor, do I pray for those of you guys single for your future relationship? Do you guys think I pray for that? Yes, I do. But not only I pray for that, but also pray for you to grow too. Because sometimes, some of us in season singleness, we might not be spiritually ready. But also, I pray for your growth. For those that are in a relationship, do I pray for those of you guys in a relationship? Yes. Okay. For those in marriage in our church, do I pray for those in marriage? Yes. I pray for my own marriage, okay? With my wife, Nancy, and I pray for every individual or every couple by name, okay? I pray for Mr. Burton and Mrs. Burton. Or I pray actually for Pam and John, okay? But I pray for Victor and Wendy in our church. Every one of them, I pray. Actually, individually, single guys too, I pray by, and single sisters. In our church, I pray by name, okay? That's one of the benefits of a small church. And I do believe God hears our prayers, okay? But at the same time, I don't want to just pray. We also want to teach what is biblical of how to pursue a relationship, okay? So last week, we looked at, in terms of courtship, we've looked at courtship involves people that are not married. We looked at some verses. And also it's purposeful, okay? Because sometimes in the way relationship people are together, not because they want to be married, but they have all these other reasons, right? Or because they feel lonely, or they don't want to go to, you know, certain things, restaurants alone. And they want to just have, like, someone to hold their arm, that kind of thing, right? By the way, I saw some really bizarre thing on Facebook. I guess in China, you could actually have an app. You could go over in a mall and, like, rent, I guess, a boyfriend to walk around with you in the mall. And it was really weird because this video was showing, like, this guy is wearing a tux. He's just waiting, standing there. And then the girl's, like, trying to do a phone to unlock this thing. But I was just thinking, this guy could just walk over, right? And it's just so weird. As soon as the thing, like, it has this light turn off and then, you know, off, that means, like, I guess he's now, you know, like, no longer in the market. And he just walks out and then just hold her hand and just walk. And it's just, like, really weird. And then I guess there was, like, three other guys behind. Like, I guess you pick, like, the tallest one. Like, she's taller than me. I was just like, this is so weird, okay? This is a little bit more like a... I know sometimes in America, some people go to build a doll, right? Those build a doll kind of place. But this is almost like find the configuration of what you're looking... It was just a little too weird for me, okay? But nevertheless, we wanted court more than just having someone walk with us in the mall, okay? Or someone to look at us in awe and that kind of thing, okay? Christian courtship is for the heading towards the purpose of what? Discovering whether or not this person you're going to be married. Every courtship is heading towards what? Marriage, okay? Which means if you're not ready to marry, if you're not looking for marriage anytime soon, I think actually it's okay to not be in a relationship, okay? I remember going to Iraq, thinking some of the guys wanted to be in a relationship so bad because no one wanted to die, right? And stuff like that. I heard when you were going in, Jin, I heard there was 200 marriages in 223.
What?
I heard that from
well, they must have kept it a secret.
Yeah, or 200 people got engaged and stuff. I know our unit, 323, there was probably 100 guys that got engaged.
How did you find this out?
I think from Chow. And Chow was doing some paperwork because the fiscal, the office was there. And then they had a lot of people updated because of, what do you call it, marriage pay.
That's right, Chow was
Supply. Supply. But then I think fiscal is really close with that.
Right.
So then he told me that. I was like, oh, I remember our unit had 100. Because why? Some guys were telling me, like, they picked anything. I remember this one guy, he just picked, and everyone's like, we don't think it's marriage material, man. And he's like, well, I don't want to die with not being married in a relationship. I was like, okay. But it ought to be more than that, okay? It ought to be more than that. It ought to be for the purpose of glorifying God. For me, I felt I was the opposite. I'd rather go to Iraq totally single. If something happened, yeah, my mom and dad and sisters miss me, maybe my church. But at least it doesn't bring a burden to someone else, okay? So, but then nevertheless, I understand the desire to marry, okay? So let's go on now. Today we're going to be looking at Christian courtship. Should be looking for someone. You should be seeking someone that is a Christian. Is this new to anybody? That in terms of Christian courtship, you should look for someone that is married. I say this because from time to time, I love going to other churches as guest speaker. The two things I like to talk about is money, like in terms of giving, because that pastor in his own church probably is awkward. I go over there, I don't know anyone. I just teach what is biblical. I don't have no agenda or anything like that in terms of actual benefit for myself. And secondly, I talk a lot about relationship. But whenever I teach about relationship, I used to think people are joyful, but apparently sometimes I manage to offend some people with this part about it must be a Christian. Because I guess there's from time to time people have within the church have never heard this idea sometimes. Like, oh, Christian must only be with Christians. Okay, Nancy and I think I've been to some church where Nancy knows and I know. Like, because I taught that topic, I think I offended a lot of people, and I was never asked to come back. And I didn't even know. I was just so happy. But then it was like, hindsight looking at, oh, okay, well, I guess I... But the purpose is why it teaches us to be, what, biblical, okay?
Sure.
It's to be biblical, okay? I think Christians, in terms of courting or being with boyfriend and girlfriend, I think biblically speaking, there's strong reasons why it ought to be with a Christian, okay? It ought to be with a Christian with that. So I want to go today looking at the reasons. I'm going to go over reasons why I say that when you look for courtship, you want to look for someone that's a Christian. So I'm going to go over reasons with that, okay? That's part, the first half. The second half, I'm going to go over application. What does that look like for those that are single, no relationship, single in relationship, and then also those engaged, and also those that are married, also, even those that are married, okay? We'll talk about that, okay, with this, okay? So first part is I'm going to go over why we should look for what? Courting someone that's only Christians. And then second half is going to be the application part, okay, with this. So in terms of reasoning, if you guys following along, reason number, so there's how many reasons? You guys following along with the outlines? How many reasons? Five, okay? Five reasons, okay, with that? What's reason number one? Josh, you want to read it out loud? Reason number one? Oh, Josh, I didn't give you my Kindle. Okay.
Period in individual's life where he...
Under reasoning, or anyone else, if he has a... Okay, thank you.
Reason number one, the Bible commands us not to have fellowship with unbelievers. How much more so should one not be married to unbelievers? Yeah.
Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 to 15. If you've been around the church long enough, you probably heard people talk on relationship. This is usually the verse that every Christian pastor and church leaders would quote and say, this is why you ought not to be with a Christian, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 to 15, okay? If I could have a happy, motivated reader, someone read verse 14, and then someone else read verse 15.
Do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership of righteousness and lawlessness? For what fellowship has light with darkness?
For what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever?
Okay, very good, okay. By the way, in previous studies, I actually have another study that looks only at this verse, more in depth of why this verse is used to say this is ought not to be a relationship that you pursue with non-Christian, okay? But that's another sermon another time, because in that teaching, I've also talked about how if you need to go to bring a bad news to somebody, to say, hey, this is an ungodly relationship, what's the most gracious, I mean, it's pretty hard, but it is the most gracious way, and also dealing with objections, okay? I think in my own life, if as a pastor, if there's one thing that I think I've upset more people as a pastor, it's actually in the area of relationship, where I go and say, this is an ungodly relationship, this is something you need to move on from, okay? I think it's been early on in my life, but I've never regretted it, because there's been times where I told somebody, and they hated me, they hated my guts, they got angry, but a year or two later, they say, I'm so glad you told me. Now we broke up, and I'm glad you did not compromise, even though other people at church were willing to look the other way. Okay? I've never, and by the way, some of those people are still in our church, and now they're married. Okay? But I don't want to go into people's drama and stories. Okay? But, and I look back, especially in our church, someone's like, wow, I'm so glad this person married this person. I'm so glad back in the day, I pulled this brother inside and said, hey, I don't think this is biblical. I don't think this is godly. And I'm so glad that person, they're both married, Christian and Christian, and both desire to please God versus a relationship that was very ungodly before, okay? It has to be long sight, okay? It's painful because why? I don't like being people saying bad things about me, right? I don't like people gossiping about me, saying bad things. I don't like, you know, people think, oh, you're that crazy guy that just only likes to be a heartbreaker and widow makers, right? But we need to do what is right and what is biblical, okay? For God, even if that person never gets married, another person that's godly, we must do it for God. But that's another sermon another time. For here, notice there's four rhetorical questions. Each one establishing the principle in verses 14. Do not be bound together with unbelievers, okay? Some people actually say this verse, hey, Jimmy, this verse doesn't say anything about marriage. Nor does it say anything about courting or boyfriend or girlfriend, okay? So, Jimmy, you can't use this verse. This verse is just saying, hey, in general, don't be, like, close with a non-believer. But is that a good objection, would you guys say?
Well, I mean, that doesn't even make any sense, though.
Yeah, go ahead.
If you think that way.
Yeah, how so?
Well, if they're saying, oh, it just means you can't be close to them in other ways, but then you can be in a relationship with them, what's like...
Yeah.
So you're in a relationship, but you're not close to them? That doesn't really make a lot of sense.
So I think, yeah, that's part of the objection. But at the same time, I also think it's nonsensical because the closest human relationship, human to human, is what?
Marriage.
Is marriage, okay? So if this verse is just saying in general, oh, you shouldn't be close with non-believers to the point that it affect you, well, this verse even especially even more so for those that are in courtship or marriage or dating or marriage situation. Does that make sense? Because even more so than the other thing, if in general, there's a sense where, by the way, sometimes as I grow as a Christian, there's sometimes where there's certain relationship I do have to avoid. Not because I'm not, you know, I'm spiritually strong, whatever, or spiritually. It's also realize, okay, this might not be good for me. Doesn't mean you're unfriendly, okay? I'm not saying run away from the world, but there's sometimes you guys might have certain relationship where you're like, oh, this is not going well. And you want to be a light, but, you know, God's calling you to move on. So if that's how much, even more so, there's situations like that, how much more so when it comes to boyfriend, girlfriend, or anything with romantic interests, with that. Now, I do know that sometimes non-believers are married to believers. And God's word is do not pursue divorce. Okay, that's another sermon another time, okay, with that. But at least you don't go in deliberately trying to disobey what? God's word. Does that make sense? Okay. So With that, is like kind of what Ben W. said, okay? By the way, verse 14, it says, what partnership? That's where we get the word koinonia, okay? This idea of a really close partnership, okay, with that. So I think with koinonia, with really close relationship, it could be very close business, family relationship, but even more so, koinonia, the closest one is what? Is a relationship, okay? So that, I think 2 Corinthians 6, 14 and 15 established, this is why you ought to seek a Christian, okay? By the way, I hope you don't see, as we go on, I hope you don't see God just as a killjoy. He wants you just to, like, among all the selection, you narrow it down. By the way, everyone narrows it down, right? No one goes, if you sign up for those things at eHarmony or ChristianMingle.com or whatever, or was it the other one, Bagels and Cookies or Cookies? I don't know all these. I don't know enough.
Farmers.com.
Huh? Farmers only. What? Okay, all right. Okay, obviously I'm not in the market anymore with this, okay? Or, okay. But, well, all those things, right? No matter, everyone's always narrowing it down, yeah? You don't select woman and everything else, right? There's always certain things you're looking for. Finance. By the way, when you go on those websites, whatever they say their income, subtract 10,000 as a rule of thumb, okay? People always give a little more than what they are, okay? By the way, just in general, people are always presenting themselves a little bit better than they really are. That's why courtship is not just only dating. I think it's always good to have community, but that's that'll be later on, okay? But I think it's also, ultimately, it's to glorify God, but it's also, I think there's a benefit we do have if we decide to do things God's way, okay? Let's go to reason number two. Note whom Paul allows a widower to marry, okay? I do believe people that have been widowed, they lost their spouse. I do think it is biblical as their prerogative, that their freedom to be married again, okay? There is that, okay? Let's turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 39. 1 Corinthians 7, 39. Caleb, would you be able to be my happy, motivated reader? Big boy voice. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 39.
A wife is bound as long as her husband lives. But if her husband is dead, she is free to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord.
Yeah. So here, notice, a wife is bound as long as her husband lives. And that's true also as well for the husband, okay? But what happens after death? Is she free to marry?
Yeah.
But notice it says, if she wishes. It's not saying, thou shalt have to, okay? If she wishes, okay? By the way, think about it. This is pretty interesting how he's looking from the woman's perspective, okay? In a woman's perspective, and saying the woman has a choice, okay? It's not just only what her rest of her family, the male family, says, okay, like in some culture. But notice it says only among the selection of what? Only in the Lord, okay? The Greek preposition there is indicating spear, okay? Among those that are Christians, among those that are in union with Christ, those that are saved, okay? So I think this is an indication that when you're looking for a spouse, you're looking for someone that is a Christian, okay?
Right.
That is a Christian, is what it's talking about in the Lord, okay? That is saved and is a Christian, okay? Any question thus far?
I got an observation.
Go ahead.
I noticed Paul says in verse 40 that it is, in my opinion, she is happier if she remains as she is.
Yeah.
So he prefers single, but if it's open, then she can still marry.
Yeah. I think here Paul is speaking about his own view. Is, by the way, I think Paul was once married and he was widowed because he was a Pharisee. Pharisee, that was one of the prerequisites to be a Pharisee and a rabbi, was you have to be married. But how do you explain this? You never see his wife mentioned. I think that's one indication that he probably lost, his wife passed away at some time. But he decided, for the sake of the gospel, decided to be single. And you guys remember the first time we opened this series, we looked at the goodness of singleness. So he's saying that in the big picture, macro, but it's also not wrong to be married. And also God uses it for the gospel also as well.
Sure.
With that, okay? So there is the liberty of being married. But what is not biblical, what is unbiblical, is if you prohibit people to marry, okay? Turn with me to 1 Timothy 4. This is not in the outline, but this is a verse to keep in mind. It would be unbiblical to prohibit people to marry in general, okay? This is not talking about, okay, there's some people who are heading towards really bad direction where both are getting married and everyone thinks it is ungodly, unwise, and everything else. This is not what it's talking about. This is saying banning marriage in general, okay? 1 Timothy chapter 4. Actually, no, what I'm saying, is it 4?
Right.
Okay. Verse 3, okay? If anyone advocate a different doctrine does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine of conforming to godliness, he is, you know, conceited. And it goes on, what does it say? Oh, what does it actually say?
Wait, what verse again? I'm sorry.
I thought it was
3, 4, 3. Or is it 3? Okay, if you turn with me 2 Timothy 3. Is it the... Okay, this is really bad. This is why...
Wait, no, I think right. It was...
Yeah, it's 4, 1 Timothy 4.
1 Timothy 4, verse
3. Verse 3, okay. Oh, yeah, okay, the first part, okay. Did I read the wrong part? I think I read chapter 6, verse 3. Sorry. 4, 3, you're right. Okay. Men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from food. Okay, these are people that say, okay.
Well, this could apply to, like, today, the Catholic priesthood, right?
Yeah, I think so. By the way, in the Catholic Bible, in their translation of the Jerusalem Bible, in 1 Timothy 3, it's fascinating. They did a good job translating because it says in... 3:1, it says, qualification of a bishop, and then it says, among the many things of 1 Timothy 3, is must be someone that is married, okay? But then, in the Catholic Apologetics Bible, they actually have no entry under that, okay? Which I think is pretty fascinating with that, okay? So I think it does speak with application about Catholicism, the banning, okay? I think it's also unnatural for everyone to ban that wants to serve God. I think that's part of the reasons why they have all kinds of morph perversion, okay? But that's another sermon, another time, okay? Let's go on. Well, reason number three on the outline. Such a relationship with a non-believer will affect your character and relationship with God. This, the other reason why we do not, I think the Bible would say we should not court someone, we should not court with someone or date someone that's a non-Christian, is because it will change you. It will affect you, okay? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. 1 Corinthians 15, 33. 15? Yeah, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Could I have someone read 15, verse 33?
Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character.
Yeah.
Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning. For there are some who are ignorant of God, and I say this to your shame.
Okay, thank you. Notice verse 33, it says, bad company corrupts what? Good moral character, okay? And just so that you don't miss the point, what does he say the first four words in English? Is do not be deceived, okay? Because some people say, oh, well, you know, I can handle it. I'm spiritually strong enough. I could be close with somebody. But it says, do not be deceived, okay? It will impact you, okay? And some people would think, okay, they'll say things like, okay, no, I'm with this person because I'm doing missionary dating, okay? And I always thought that is probably a little bit disingenuous because the main motivation, is it really missionary dating? Is it really to be a missionary? Or is it really to be... in a relationship. What do you guys think it often is the case? It's a relationship, okay? I was just wondering, if today I just suddenly woke up and tell you guys, email you guys, hey, God is calling me to be a missionary in Beverly Hills. Like, I need to buy a house out there next to all those guys, you know? I need to buy a house out there and start, you know, going to Bel Air Presbyterian Church and reach out to all the, instead of down and outers, the up and inners, right? If I were to reach out there. And I'm asking you guys all the, you know, I'm passing the donation plate and everything. What do you guys think? What good would most people mind?
I tell you, I'd pray about it.
Yeah, you'll pray about it, right? Okay. Now, and I'm telling you, like, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit speaks. And is saying this. Then the reality is, yeah, the Holy Spirit is speaking. You know what the Holy Spirit is speaking? Is the Holy Spirit is telling everybody, hey, this guy's probably a fraud, right? Right. You feeling it? Okay.
Sure.
So in that light, I think it's important to realize, in the same funny analogy, is also those that would say, oh, I'm with this person because I'm actually being a missionary, sharing the gospel with them, okay? I actually think a lot of times when you know the gospel, when you do missions, I think oftentimes God calls people to do difficult and really trying things, okay? That's what the Word of God says, okay? So I think in light of this, we need to see that it does corrupt the character, okay? It does. Even with the brothers and sisters I've known in the past and presently, it does change somebody. Sometimes it might be small, but 1,000 steps of character change will result in character or bad character, okay? Remember also as well, sometimes the way we do things, how we live, is sometimes someone didn't teach us things, okay? Sometimes some things are caught rather than taught, right? We see the example of others, and then we what? Do it, okay?
Sure.
I like Phil, with coming to our church recently, right? Or not coming to our church, but one of the things is he always helps with what? Doing the trash services,
sure.
Right? And whatever, serving lunch, okay? Now, some things are caught rather than taught. I don't think anyone sat down with Phil and said, hey, Phil, do this and that, right? It's just, some things are just caught from the people around you rather than taught. So in light of this, knowing that principle, this will change us, okay? Especially in such a close relationship like that, okay? Therefore, in the long run, a relationship with unbeliever will make you more like an unbeliever rather than you being more sanctified, okay?
Right.
By the way, sometimes non-believers, I'm not saying non-believers never do anything right. I do think they do. There are non-believers that when there's a hurricane, they'll donate to Red Cross. You know, they do acts of charity, okay? But here we see with this verse, okay, in this light. But the reason why they do things is different. And the standard could change, right?
Sure.
With that. And by the way, don't ever forget that people change in relationship. Even in things that are non-moral. Before Nancy and I was married, Nancy did not like pho. Do you remember this? I wrote this. This was like 10 years ago when I wrote this outline, okay? So this is no agenda. This is all written like 10 years ago, and I'm modifying to make this better, okay? Nancy did not like pho, and she didn't like Vietnamese sandwiches. But now, whenever I say, hey, Nancy, where do you want to go grab food around here? Banh mi, right? It's like, and what did she order? She ordered, you know, some Vietnamese sandwich, right? Or we go grab pho, okay? You know, I did not like Italian food before. I remember the first time, our first Valentine's, do you remember? I asked Nancy, what kind of food do you want to eat? And you said, Italian. Now, I was like, oh, okay. But I would do it just because I'm interested. But as soon as we went, I was like, oh, it's busy. Oh, okay, let's go over to some Chinese restaurant. Because, you know, in my heart, I wanted to. But over time, guess what happened to my heart? My taste. I actually finally like lasagna. And spaghetti and like Italian food. What does that say?
You didn't like any of that?
Yeah, I didn't like that any of that before. Yeah, I don't know why. I did. I just felt ours felt like spaghetti was like Marco Polo brought spaghetti over and it's messed up chow mein, okay? That's how I felt, okay? But then I discovered that there's also different tastes in light of that, okay?
So do you go to Olive Garden more now?
No.
Yeah, but that's because we love each other, you know. But actually the one time we went with Olive Garden was because Pastor Ling and Pastor Andrew met up with them. I was actually thinking like, wow, this is pretty good. I could come back here again, okay? But that's what happened with love, right? Characters do get changed. And it is biblical to realize that. So who you are will shape you. If even in things that do not matter, like food, or matter less, how much more so to things that truly what matter, okay? So let's go on to reason number 4. The most important part of your life, of life, is your relationship with God. Okay? Reason number 4. The most important part of your life is relationship with God. How sad would it be that the most important human relationship of husband and wife, God cannot be active part of the relationship between the two of you. Okay? You guys ever heard the saying, the third wheel? Right? Now, you don't ever want to be, or what is the other saying? A lamppost or a lamp? Or, you guys know what I'm talking about? Third wheel?
Yeah.
When we say third wheel, what do we mean as a idiom?
The triangle.
Or triangle, okay.
Odd guy out.
Someone getting in the way.
Yeah, the odd guy out, right? Okay.
Odd guy out.
Now, when Nancy and I, when I was interested in Nancy, I would do these Bible studies, but to make it like Christianese, I decided to ask Victor to come up and your brother back then. Right? Victor will show up, we'll go at a boba shop, and he said, okay, I'm excited for this Bible study, and it's just the three of us. And then he'll look around, like feeling awkward, and then he'll tell me, the first time I ever heard of it, I was like, hey, you just made me into a third wheel. Is that, what's wrong with that? You know, and then it's like, you know, so you don't want to be anyone's third wheel. But at the same time, any good relationship will always have a third wheel. Actually, not even the third wheel. You might be the third wheel. You want the first wheel to be who? God. You want God and Jesus Christ to be involved, okay? Wouldn't it be so sad that if you were to pursue a relationship with a non-Christian and God would not have anything with any same of that, okay? Christ is more valuable than anything else in the world. Was that a door knocking?
No, that's mine.
Okay. Let's turn with me to Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 11. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 11, okay?
Could you lower your voice, my name?
Eric, could you read verse 7, Mr. Byrne, verse 8, Josh, verse 9, Anthony, verse 10, and then Jin, verse 11.
But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ.
More than that, I count all things to be lost and be surpassing the value of knowing Christ, Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish in order that I might gain Christ.
And may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith.
I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his suffering, becoming like him in his death,
in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead.
Thank you. Notice here in verses 7, it's, Paul just says everything else is could be, he would say he's willing to lose it all if he only has Christ, okay? That's how much valuable Christ is, yes? Okay? And we probably know this in our life, if we're a Christian. We might struggle with different things, but there's times in our life, it's very clear, the most valuable thing in the world, most valuable person in the world, in our life, is Christ himself. Okay? Abigail, could you behave? And Rebecca, okay? Or Hannah? So notice also as well, it compares with all things, if you look with me, in verses 8. It's compared, all things compared to what? A loss. And what does he count them as? All things he will count as what? What does your version say? What does your version say? Count them but what? What does your version say?
Rubbish.
Rubbish, okay. Anyone's version says anything else?
Garbage.
Garbage, okay. Could I say this? Those are very polite words. The Greek word skubalon. Yeah, the actual word in Greek is skubalon, okay. Skubalon does not refer to rubbish or trash. It actually refers to dung, okay?
Awful.
Yeah, okay? Now, I'm not a cussing pastor, but you get the idea, right? He's saying all things, the most precious thing is what? Is rubbish, is cow manure, so to speak, okay? And yet he would say he'll lose all things so that he may gain Christ. So is Christ valuable?
Yeah, okay.
If he's more valuable than anything else, then we have to ask the question, why disobeys prohibition of intimate relationship with an unbeliever? Okay? Going back to reason number one. And why break your relationship with God? Even let's just say the non-believer that you're with is very polite. Could you imagine if you're gonna pour out your heart to this person and say, oh, God is doing this or that, or the beauty of the Trinity, the beauty of order salvation, or the beauty of the gospel, look at all this, and look at what God has done in my life. And you pour all your heart to the other person, that other person just smile politely at you and say, okay, nice. That's nice. Pat you in your shoulder and say, I'm glad it works for you. And you're like, it's real. It's true. And yet you aren't able to share that in your life, right? What a travesty that would be, right? In light of that, okay? Let's go to reason number 5. Glorifying God together in courtship. The Bible is clear. We are to glorify God in everything, okay? 1 Corinthians 10:31. I'll just read this out loud. It's one of my favorite verses. Whether then you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of who? God, okay? Whatever you eat or drink, when you eat food later, when we go out for dinner, whether we pick banh mi or somewhere else, right? We're eating it all for the glory of what? God, to enjoy him, okay? Turn with me to Colossians 3:17. Could you read that for us, Kaylee? Colossians 3:17.
Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father.
Okay. So here we see Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do, you must do it all for the glory of who? for God, okay? You must do it all for the glory of God. Now, if the courtship is going to be glorifying God and point people to the gospel, then that requires both people to be what? Know the gospel, right?
Right.
And court someone in order for them to reflect the gospel and be intentional with gospel applying to their life and changing their life, okay? And I would say, therefore, because of that, courtship ought to be between two believers if our whole purpose of life is to glorify God. Okay, now there is that issue of some that's already married and one's a believer and one's non-believer. Could God still be glorified? Yes. But that way of glorifying is different. But still, nevertheless, we don't purposely go out to unglorify God. Okay, does that make sense? Even the way how we court should be a way that reflects the glory of God. Okay? Let's go now with the application. Okay, I'm going to talk to those that are not in relationship, those that are interested in someone, and those in relationship already. And also with those who are married, ministering to single, okay? Not in relationship. That is, you are single, but no boyfriend, girlfriend at all, okay? At this point. Resolve ahead, and you're not interested in anyone right now, like an actual person, okay? Resolve ahead of time, not to compromise, okay? But be faithful to God, okay? Resolve ahead of time to say, hey, I'm going to internalize this, okay? By the way, these things sometimes... I know we have a lot of people in medical field now in our church on Sundays in the medicine field. The big thing people are talking about these days is what? Preventative medicine, right? Is why, you know, we need to not only think about, oh, what happens when people get sick? Let's give medicine. But we need to be proactive to avoid what? Prevent being sick as much as possible. Same way, the best way to make sure you would be with a believer is internal, even before you're in a relationship. Before you see anyone else that you're interested in, internalize, say, I would want to be a Christian. I want to please God, okay? And knowing that, resolving that ahead of time, not to be compromised, go a long step, okay? Will it be hard? Sometimes, yes, but that's much more different than someone that doesn't even internalize it, doesn't even think about this regularly. Does that make sense? Okay? Secondly, practice obedience to God in other parts of your life, okay? I think the principle I draw from Luke 16, 10, 11 is be faithful in little. He who's faithful in little will be faithful in much, right? I'm a firm believer as a Christian. Attention to details matter. Okay, attention to details matter. If you're faithful in little, will you be faithful in much? Yeah, okay. If you're going to be faithful to God in the small things, then when it comes to the issue of marriage. By the way, the two biggest decisions you can make in your life is number one is what? Trusting in Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, right? That's your salvation. You're going to go to heaven or hell based upon that decision. The second biggest decision, I think, is who you end up with. Marrying will be your second most important decision in life. But if you're faithful in all the small things, you'll be able to be faithful in what? The little things. Versus, by the way, if someone's not faithful in the little things, would they be faithful in the big things?
No.
Right? Let's just say, I know some of us right now in school. Let's just say there's someone at school. They're always cheating on their homework. They're always cheating on the quiz. And suddenly the big test comes around. Do you think the person is more likely to cheat or not cheat?
Cheat.
Then the final comes around. Will he or she be more likely to cheat or not cheat? Yeah, you bet you, okay? So all the small trials in our life is opportunity that God is, God's training wheel, okay? Is God's curriculum of life for us to be able to be faithful in little, faithful in much. So even if you don't say, oh, I don't have anyone right now, but just be faithful in small things, you'll be faithful in the bigger things in life, okay? Now, other application is, how does a single Christian find someone who is a Christian to court? Let's just say you're single, no one you have in mind at all, but you like to be find somebody. What's the best way? I think the church, okay? Be involved with the church, okay? Don't just see church as only, okay, Sunday from 11 to 12:30, or whenever Jimmy finished. And then this finish was like, yeah, I'm free, right? You go run downstairs, you don't even have lunch, you don't say goodbye to anyone, and then you're just gone and wave goodbye, right? No, but see it as the opportunity. This is where also you'll find a Christian. What's the likeliest place to find somebody as a Christian? It is probably the church, okay? You'll probably find likelihood is the church more than, was it bagels and farmers, whatever you guys say, or ChristianMingle.com. Well, maybe ChristianMingle.com will have more percentage of Christian. But nevertheless, with that, I think it's important to think about the church. Now, I know our church, we have a lot of what?
Guys,
okay? Actually, the women percentage have gone up the last 7 years, okay? But still, there's a lot of guys, okay? But also, I think even I think I go ahead. Yeah. So even with a lot of guys, I think
cases like where there's like.
Okay.
I'm sorry,
okay. No, it's okay. Okay. Did I make a face? Okay, sorry. Yeah, so going back up, yeah, it's a church. By the way, I also believe if you pray to God, you know. I think I shared with you guys in our church when in 2000, early 2000s, our church had a split. We used to be like guys and girls were balanced, okay? Then during the church split, all the pharmacy ladies got married and, you know, we believe in biblical view of man and woman. They went with their husband. It was the right thing to do. So then we had a lot of leftover guys, or guys, okay? Then some of the guys were telling, I remember it was telling Victor, John, and I, and we were like 18, 19, 20. Said, hey guys, I'm leaving because I want to get married. And these guys were like older than us, they were like the leaders. And then eventually, in 2000, by the time I was 19, I was like, wow, everyone left. I was like, that's how Victor, John, and I started doing things with the church. Because all the guys were telling us. It got to the point where there was a point where Victor and John would roll their eyes whenever someone comes and say, I'm thinking about leaving the church. Like, oh, why? Is it because we don't have girls? Well, we're also guys too, right? But then I remember with the guys saying, hey, let's just pray. You know, let's just pray God will bring people with that. But at the same time, we cannot leave because we felt there was younger people. There were a lot of special needs we were taking care of. And I felt like I love the church so much, I cannot just leave. But if you ask me, I would actually say John and Victor, marriage, God has blessed that, right? Amen. Like, no one in the church would say, oh, whoa, look at them. Maybe this is not meant to be. I think everyone in the church will never hear. It was always affirming, like, whoa, look at this, right? This is a godly thing. So bringing that to say is that sometimes it's about faithful in little, faithful in much, okay? God owns 1,000 cattle, okay, on a hill. But God owns everything in the earth, too, also as well, including other sisters in the Lord also as well. So in light of this, faithfulness to God. I'm not saying sisters are cattle, okay? That's what I'm saying. But be faithful in little, but faithful in much. God's the grand orchestrator. And sometimes with that is the church, okay? But not just only the church, but also with those serving God, okay? Don't just merely go to church, but also serve. And as you serve, you'll sometimes see that God's brought other people to serve alongside you, okay? Andrew. You guys know the old pastor, Andrew Chu? You know where he met his wife at? Prison ministry, right? She wasn't a convict. He wasn't a convict, but they were just ministering with that, okay? They didn't, you know, they were separate, but then when they came together to pray for the prison ministry or jail ministry, that's how they met, okay? Find a fiance in the front lines of the work of God. That's a way to go, okay? So that's application for those looking for those in courtship, okay? Now, I'm not against those with website. I think there's some principle we'll go over later on down a few months. Of even Christian principles to keep in mind. To remember it's a tool, okay? But it's not an ultimate thing. That it does not neglect all the other parts of roles of others, family, and the church, okay? Let's go on the application of those interested in somebody. Find out as soon as possible if the person is a believer, okay? How? Ask them. But don't just ask. Talk to the person, he or she, about God and the Bible, okay? And observe the person's fruit, okay? There's a sense where we do have to observe fruit, just as their trajectory. Not that they're perfect, but is there a general trajectory of loving God, okay? We'll talk more about that later, okay? So if the person is not a believer, do not get in relationship with the person. And count Christ as surpassing the value of relationship with the individual, okay? Now, I'm not telling you to go cuss and say the S-word to them, but Jesus did say, Paul did say, everything else is what? Scubalon. Okay? Everything is scubalon compared to Christ, okay? In a relationship already, let's go to those in a relationship already. If the person is a believer, then you have great reasons to praise God, okay? Is she acting like me?
Okay. I didn't do anything.
Okay.
Not this time.
Yeah.
By the way, yeah, so, yeah, notice who, what company you have, will people will what? Will impact you, right?
Yeah.
Okay? Oh my, okay?
Sorry.
Yeah. Okay, so if a person is in a relationship, praise God. Keep on growing in Christ together through the Word, serving God and prayer, okay? But don't just. Hey, girls, hey, seriously, we're still doing Bible study, okay? We're still doing Bible study, Rebecca, okay? But don't just stop there. Don't just stop there merely with just being happy the other person is Christian. Since the Christian you are courting is a believer, ask the following question about the relationship, okay? These questions is actually from a book, okay? Do the people in each of your lives, know and love Jesus more because you're together? Ask that question, okay? Because if it's for the glory of God, you have to ask that question. Second question, do they see God's grace and truth working in you and your relationship as you walk through life together, right? That is, do other people actually grow in grace because of you guys being together? Maybe your younger siblings, maybe your fellow brothers and sisters, your peers, maybe even those that are older, that you are, what 1 Timothy 4:12 says, right? You're an example. Do not let anyone look down on you, but let it be an example, right, in all things, okay? If the person is a non-believer, what if you're in a relationship with the person a non-believer and it turns out, okay? By the way, I want to proceed slowly. Make sure. It's one of those things when you have to be very, very careful to say someone that claims to be a believer and you're not sure they're believing. Be very careful. When I was young, I was really quick to say right away, anyone. When I was young, when I was 18, my rule was anyone that cusses was definitely not a believer, right? Because I was judging my own standard because I got saved right away and I stopped cussing right away, okay? So I judged my own standard, but then I realized afterwards, like, no, that's not. But at the same time, be very careful of judging someone when they say they're Christian and say they're not Christian, okay? But at the same time, if it really turned out that they really aren't a believer, I think this is where you have to do what is right in the sight of the Lord and even end the relationship as an act of obedience to God, okay? Our brother Hector Cadillo at church, he's ministering to somebody. Every Friday, I will have these, the small group every 2 weeks. And he'll take everything that I teach, and he'll go teach another guy. He'll reach out to another guy. He'll meet one-on-one. Even because the guy kept trying to invite to our church and invite our fellowship, and it turns out the guy never showed up. So he gave up. He thought, if he's not doing this, I'm going to bring it to him. So he would ask to print out, save every printout that we have. Other people throw it and say, no, I'll save that. So he'll meet with this guy to go over with him. And then also, hey, add your own thing. Add more verses, right? Make it your own. Grow from that. Make it even better, okay? And when he does, he'll minister to this guy. Quiet down, okay? Minister to this guy. God is working with that guy. That guy actually broke up a relationship that he was with a non-believer, and his life of partying and everything else, right? And that's a work of God, okay? That's a work of God. I would say, praise the Lord, And that's just from order of salvation, just teaching the beauty of the glory of what God has done for the gospel of saving us. Moves people to do the hard things, okay? I want to say special application for those who are married, ministering to singles. Share the truth with single Christians before they're in a relationship. And what do you think I'm doing right now? Applying that, right? Sharing that, okay? I'm sharing this because one day, most people, as a statistics, that want to be married, end up being married. Sooner or later in life, okay? But when you're married, don't ever just say, that day of phase is over. Be intentional of discipleship, other younger Christians, those are single. Talk about this ahead of time because there's genuinely people that some Christians, they don't know because some churches, they could be so big, the pastor could be so into popularity, they don't want to fit in. They never teach this part. And therefore, the sheep suffers as a result of that, okay? I think there's genuine people that are ignorant, they do not know this because it's not necessarily popular to talk about, okay? Gently remind believers the importance of these truths when they're considering someone to court, okay? As a pastor, I do actively ask people, even before I was a pastor, I would always ask people, hey, are you interested in somebody? Even before, because why? Sometimes people will share, yeah, I'm interested in someone, but that person's a non-believer, but man, that person is, this or that, and oh, man, this person's giving me attention, whatever else. But if you're actively asking, it's better to bring it up before things get really emotional in the beginning, nip it in the bud versus later on, right? So actively asking and saying things like, hey, how do you see 2 Corinthians 6 apply to your life? Or, the key is, I think you could bring this up, be truthful, and yet be gently. By the way, gently is already very offensive, okay? But I also believe with these things, we've got to be very, very gentle, okay? Doctors need bedside manners. When we minister in the church, we need what? All life manners, okay?
With that,
okay? Exhort those who are in relationship with non-believers to obey God. If they're ignorant, share with them, okay? I have another study that we go into more rigorously in this in depth, but this is more application, okay? If they're struggling, share the grace of God to motivate them to do what is right and pray for them, okay? For those that are married, you guys remember, I remember, it's so hard, the emotion thing, right? Even right now, those are single, is it hard? In relationship, yeah. So have sympathy, have empathy, pray with them, okay, with that, okay? So always do it gently, okay? If they are disobedient, admonish them with a serious warning, okay? I think admonish and being gentle is not mutually exclusive. Okay, admonishing gently is not mutually exclusive. And one of the verses I often use in the end when they look like they would not change is always say the way of a sinner is what? Hard, okay? By the way, in your life, if I'm using that verse a lot, that's probably a bad sign, okay? This is like the sign of, okay, this is towards the end where no gospel, no nothing motivate. If the gospel don't motivate, nothing else will motivate. But at the same time, this is where we want to leave them off, okay? And even have them repeat it, saying, hey, could you repeat back to me? Just so that I know for sure that I did my responsibility. Could you say it after me? The way of a sinner is hard, right? What verse I'm going to say? Because usually at that point, people would say, I know. And I'll tell, okay, if you say I know, what am I going to say? And I've actually had someone say back to me, I know what you're going to say. The way of a sinner is hard. Okay? I say that because so that when the consequences bad happen, they could right away look and say, oh yeah, things are crumbling down. But I also believe God's word doesn't come void. There's people that will also say, as soon as the world's crumbling down, say, I remember what Jimmy said with that verse. And they'll come back and say, God is disciplining me. Help me. What do I do? I need to be right with God. Please pray for me. Okay? And make sure you don't close the door. Okay? That the door is always open for them to come back with that. And the way you do that is also letting them know that, hey, I love you. You know, as wayward as you go the direction, I'll be at your house in a heartbeat, any moment, if things change or if you need me. We're being made, turning back right with God. And that's literally has happened. Okay? We're playing for keeps, right? Because this is how beautiful marriage is. This is why we're strict. Not because we just are a bunch of legalists, you know, killjoys. It's so that you can have what is best, what God plans, whatever that looks like with you. We need to believe God's plan is best. Okay?